More Than Meat Joy came out. How long did you work on it?
Well, we worked on it the winter of 77, all the way up until the time that I took the pay stubs to the printer in Ann Arbor. I think I flew up there for that.
Was that a printer you'd worked with that you...
It had, yes, yeah. It was, but at the same time, it was not easy sailing. What happened was this. I wanted to bring it out in 70, the fall, or before the end of 78. I don't know why, but, you know, it was sort of like, it's good to have a deadline.
Yeah. You know?
Meanwhile, I had a little office upstairs where, you know, I was clattering the keys. And Carol Lee was in her little office, and she was sending me pages. One of the things that I realized was that she needed to write a lot for this book about the experience and to rewrite some of the scripts to the best of her memory, because it was too spare. We needed to have her presence, her experiences, even, you know, looking back. And that was really tough for her. It would be tough for anyone, frankly. Mm-hmm. So it was not without tears at times, but I was very insistent. I mean, she, you know, I'd have her rewrite and rewrite, and I would cut, and I would have, you know, say, yeah, no, go in this direction. You know, we've got, I need to know this, why this, you know, or who was responsible for that, or how did this whole thing come about? But it's all hers, no matter how many drafts it took, et cetera, it was all hers. And we sort of powered through the big stuff first. And then we sort of, that is the big performances like Water Like Water, Needle, and More Than Meat Joy, and Snows. What's the other one? There's another fourth, I think, you know, that I considered at least. And then we started dealing with some of the earlier ones, and then the later stuff that she was still, you know, in the process of performing or had recently performed, like Interior Scroll. And then it was a matter of, you know, how do we organize the notebooks, the stuff from the notebooks? How do we draw upon this rich stuff to make it a performance in itself? Because that was the purpose of the book. If you couldn't see them, you had to sort of sense that you were experiencing them in some way. And more than that, that you were going through a book that, you know, had a real living presence in it. You know, I didn't want it to be just a documentary. And frankly, Michael Benedict had helped a lot in editing the score for Meat Joy, publishing it in, I think, an anthology, not a magazine, but an anthology. Michael Benedict was a New York poet, a sort of Upper West Side New York poet. I think he might have taught at Columbia or something. He was much more of a formalist than a lot of the poets that I gravitated towards, or that Carol Lee, for that matter, who was, you know, close with Rothenberg, Anton, Kelly, you know, a raft of others. And anyway, Benedict did a great job of sort of establishing, you know, how one might bring a score alive, I thought. So it was rigorous and alive, as opposed to a lot of the happening stuff that I'd seen. You know, one of the things I got to say is, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. It was a damn good thing. While I had had some experience designing, you know, and dealing with texts and publishing books, this was something where I was in a vast learning process. And I remember thinking, how do I do this? And I'm sure I said something to Anthony, and he said, well, I think that you need a grid. And I did build it on a grid, but I built it on a grid that was atypical, because I knew how I wanted to feature photographs, for example, not as illustrations, but as part of, you know, the experience.
What do you mean? Is there a way to?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, when you see things like this, that's if everything had been done in small photos, big text, then the text rules. But if you and use the space so that you have to really see the photographs, the text is secondary in a sense, because this is visual art, you know?
Yeah.
So it had to be, I mean, there would be lots of places where smaller illustrations would be within a column. But what I wanted to do was wherever possible to show the photographs as large as I could. And also have, and now we're looking at some pages in which their manuscripts, which, you know, or were these retyped? I don't know. No, these were originals, I think, and presented as documents, but as large as possible so that they could be read and experienced in that way.
And then did you make the paste-ups?
I made the paste-ups.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of in those days you had big stats, you know, and so, you know, this is a, this particular page that we're looking at is a typescript on a gray background. Well, that was produced by creating a stat and reducing it and then laying over a tent. But the tent was more something that would, in the paste-up, be a black sheet of film, you know, just solidly black and with positioning guides. So, you know, it was an entirely different. Okay, so you know what you call those now. It was a little target, you know.
Yeah, like a registration mark.
So you had to register all this, that stuff. The photos, well, I'm trying to remember. I think that we may have had photographs. A lot of materials were done by Scott Bowron, who was our downstairs neighbor, and he was a professional photographer for Christie's, I think. Good friend of Carolee's. Really nice guy. I know that we took a lot of the paintings and things, and he would shoot those.
And so you would do that in the city. You had
because he had a studio right there. Okay. I mean, and I'm trying to remember what we did. We might have copied the photos because otherwise you have to send all the photos to, you know, with the paste-ups. And they have to become halftones and put into place, which we may have done. I mean, this was a huge, for me at the time, undertaking. You know, I just never thought of and everything required a different sort of design and a strategy. So.
And was so did you release on time? And I was like,
well, we did, but because of some of the photographs, when I took, I was still working on the paste ups. And in order to meet the deadline, I had to get up to Ann Arbor. And I went to this printer called McNaughton and Gunn. They gave me a little place, you know, where I could finish the last few paste ups. This is 288 pages of paste ups. They're not uncomplicated. So I did that stuff and came home, you know, and delivered everything to them, you know. And then I got a call and they said, we can't do this book. Our printers won't print it. And the reason was that there were pictures like this. And this is, you know, pretty much the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
And the printers thought it was pornographic. And it's odd, of course, but it's not altogether clothed. So how did we convince them? It was some way they went ahead and did it. But they had to let the printers who didn't want to work on it, not work on it.
You know, wow.
They had to. And I saw a lawyer. I went into New York. Carolee, you know, said she knew of a lawyer and who could advise me. Oh, and this was the lawyer for Sharon Avery Falstrom, who was the widow of Oyvind Falstrom, who was actually a friend of Carolee's, who was a famous Swedish artist, great, you know, figure from the 60s and stuff, but he died early. And I feel like I may be going into too great detail stuff, but in any case, the lawyer called, I went to see the lawyer. Lawyer called the printer while I was there and basically threatened him a little bit, you know.
Oh, wow.
And I was thinking, that's not the way to do this. You know? don't. But so, you know, and there was just pushback, you know, over the phone. I was listening to it.
Wow.
And I said, no. You know, that's just not the way to do it. And I honestly don't remember how I convinced them to print the book. I know that it was all shot and stripped, mm-hmm. you know. And it was just a question of somehow we got around it. I think we got some sort of certification or somebody to say, this is not pornographic. Not sexual. This is art. This is, you know, this is the stuff that happened in a particular way. And they were not binding it in any case. So all they had to do was print the sheets and get them out. And send them to the bindery. It was touch and go there.